Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, what do you get out of maintaining this belief? And the belief is believing that something is wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Record and listen. And here's our first caller.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Karen from North Carolina.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, I did that before. I would say, hey, Karen.
That's the old Joshu. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it does right? Kind of bring you up straightforward. I mean, well, in answer to that, I've been looking at that a lot. And really, you know, holding that belief, the only payoff is for ego. It's just a whole place of suffering. And, you know, ego tells me that answer is so obvious, but it must not be so obvious because we fall for it a lot.
Right. If it were so simple and straightforward, we would have seen through it clearly the first million or so times that it happened, and yet we don't, right? So,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We know the answer. But we don't yet live the answer.
Yes, and you know that's why this practice is just such an awesome experience, and why I feel so grateful to be, drawn to it and have it a part of my life. Because you know, from the time we're born, we're taught that something's wrong. It's so ingrained in us.
Well, that's funny, isn't it? Because that's the first thing that parents do is to check out the newborn baby to make sure there's nothing wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. What an interesting assumption that is, right? Or what a telling assumption. You know, that there's the thing, oh, it's got all its fingers and all its toes, which is code for there's nothing visibly wrong with it. There's nothing that we can see that's wrong with it. So clearly, however we are, is not enough. There's a standard we need to be meeting. And you're right. Mm. Starts at birth.
Mm, yeah. And then, you know, the other place I go to is then just really a place of compassion and love for choosing that. Because, you know, when I find myself identified or feeling bad or whatever, and, you know, that's always a good reminder, okay, wake up.
Right. So we could say, if there is anything wrong, which we know there isn't, but if there were, it's what that system does. It's that system. And yet, as you point out, it's that system that helps us come back here. To choose unconditional love, to wake up, to end suffering. So we can't even say it's wrong, can we?
Yeah, you know, that's just been the power of the last few pages of this book. I mean, this whole book is awesome, but you know, just the last few days, you know, what we've been talking about, you know, what a privilege it is. I mean, our deepest mission in life is to wake up, and so if that system of ego is assisting us in waking up, whatever the reason for that process is, then, you know, it's all good.
Right. Yeah. All we can do is say thank you.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thrilled to be here and be talking with you all.
Well, thank you. Thrilled to have you. Happy you're here.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Happy to be here.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. I love that that encouragement that when we know the answer, and yet we are not yet living from it, and that's the reason to practice. I remember an open air show where we talked so much about that. You know, that that knowing the answer, within quotes, the comprehension requires us to actually keep working at it since till the comprehension becomes our reality.
Yes. Yeah, yes. And that's actually one of the most fiendish plots, if we want to look at it that way, that ego uses. Well, you know that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know that. Everybody knows that. Oh, you're just seeing that? You're just realizing that?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is around what you know and equating what you know with how you are. And we know a lot of stuff that we are not doing, that we're not living.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because it's in the realm of the knowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets held against us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is fiendish.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, good morning. This is Eleanor in Georgia.
Good morning, Eleanor.
Good morning. Very exciting conversation. So in the last few days, I'm seeing two ways that, what was the question of what we get from whatever, believing the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So first I was looking at this particular place, and it came up of the place I least like myself. Getting my laps in on the side of the mountain while I listen. Just great. 90 degrees, 90% humidity, can't beat it.
Lord.
And I won't compare it to your weather. Sorry to mention the weather. So that's another conversation. It was really great because first I saw how the reinforcement. So something happens, it's a cycle. So the reinforcement and getting in the conversation about what's wrong is what keeps me in this behavior that I don't, that ego doesn't say is acceptable. So, today I was listening about that, and what came in was then, this is pretty exciting. We see this cycle, and for me the behavior was the frazzled, not doing it, saying the right thing, talking too much. And if that's reinforced because I get in the conversation that it's wrong, that it's just absolutely the wrong way to be, and humans shouldn't be like that. And then I thought, well, where does it start? If this is a cycle, and the biggest problem is being in that conversation where I'm not with life, I'm listening to what's wrong with me. And what came in was excitement. And so this great compassion came in also that this is life bubbling up. Like a little child, yay, I have something to say. And then immediately, it is snuffed out. Just immediately, and the story is, this is not acceptable, this is not appropriate behavior, someone will think blah, blah, you know, and on and on.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, to take that life experience away. How about that? And that's what I get from believing that story. So.
Well, yes. So two things about that. Three things, actually, about that. One is that all that life force, that excitement, that just, hello, life, I'm available, is taken away from you. And it's given to ego. All the life force is given to ego, which is the whole point, because ego doesn't care how you are as long as it can make you feel bad. But the thing that was so fascinating to me about that is when you described how what it uses against you is caused by diverting your attention from how you are in the moment and directing your attention to the conversation and conditioned mind so that you become... I don't know what the word, I'm sure there's a good word, but like scattered, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not really present with the excitement and what you're seeing and what you want to say. You're part of your, a good part probably as it goes on, of your attention is directed to, you shouldn't be that way. Look at how you're not, people are going to right? And so you get caught in the middle of that, and you are perhaps not as clear and articulate as you would be if you weren't distracted by a voice in your head telling you you shouldn't be the way you are.
Yes, it's then compounding.
Then it beats you up. Right. Then it beats you up for being that way that it's causing you to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Isn't that amazing?
It is astounding.
It makes me want to see it, how it happens now. Tricky, because it happens very quickly. I know, because I've really, I've always catch myself in it.
You know what, Eleanor? You're faster.
I can't be faster.
Attention and awareness is operating way ahead of conditioning. It doesn't seem that way, right? But it is. And so you, in quotes, you as awareness are already there when all this stuff kicks in from conditioned mind. So you don't need to worry about not being able to see it. It's just simply now you're aware of what you're looking for, you're going to see it.
Uh-huh. And to continue with that, because it's a long good habit of falling for ego telling me that, any emotional reaction is dangerous. So this is good to look for it.
To look for it, to watch it, to watch it, because what its success, and not just with you, okay, this is how it works with all of us. It's successful because it takes attention away from us in the present and turns attention to it in its conversation, right? So you have been distracted into that. Now you're going to be watching that, consciously observing that process, which is a whole different world.
Yes, and even when if I catch myself there, just like the previous conversation is that, I know this, and not to get caught up in the story.
That's right. Yes, I do know this. It's very familiar. I'm watching it closely. And so whatever point you tune in from that conscious awareness rather than an old story.
That's it. Wow, thank you.
That's it. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, back to 1995 in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and isn't it exciting to talk about excitement? I was just so excited just to think about it or talk about
because we're here. This is what it feels like when attention is with presence.
Right.
It's exciting.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and 90 degrees is good sometimes too. All right.
And 90 degrees and 95. It's the 95% humidity that gives me pause. But that's okay.
And I do have clear air, so I'm thankful for that, too. Thanks. Good luck to you guys on that one.
All right. Thanks, Eleanor.
Thank you so much, both of you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Eleanor. I don't think that excitement can stay on a mountaintop.
No. It just made its way across this country and around the world, right?
Yes. And I love the connection between those two conversations. That the believing, if it can get us to believe, or another way of saying it, the attention on there is something wrong with you, then it's the on ramp into conditioned mind from a moment of presence or awareness. And that's what the payoff is it's sort of like the bait or the lure into itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that on ramp, there goes the energy. Right. Yeah. You can just see it making that journey from here to there.
Yes. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Barbara calling from Chicago.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi. So what I get out of maintaining the belief that there's something wrong is I just effectively stay in that story. And there's something that is so familiar that it feels, well, I don't know if it feels this way or I'm being told it's safe. It's small. Makes me
it's
shrink.
Unhappy.
Yeah, it just
it's unhappy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's it feeds itself so that what dropped in was it's self-perpetuating. But then when I looked at those words, it also, you know, perpetuates this. It feeds itself and it creates a self.
Yes, yes. And that self has a small s, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What's
yeah.
being described is ego.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your life is small and unhappy, and ego is safe.
Yeah.
It can just sit on the couch with you, sucking the life force out of you, and it's doing fine.
Well, what it does to me is it has done really, like, effectively my life is keep me, like, this lifelong fix-it project. So there's a lot of energy in it, but it's not productive or helpful,
well,
or kind.
You can see how ego-centric it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's what it gets us to do. So if I'm your ego, and I am, and I only say your ego so that we know that we are connected in that way, because I'm not your ego. I am the ego that is attached to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talk constantly to you about what's wrong with you so
mm-hmm.
that you will look to me to talk to you about how to fix you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just generating energy in you that I'm living off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that conversation. So it is completely ego-centric. You are not the center of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Ego
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, let's hasten to say, you are not alone in this, okay? We are
yeah.
describing how the system works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
so with that, before we leave that one, egocentric has been turned into a description. I had to explain, right, that I'm not saying you are egocentric,
mm-hmm.
but that's what it has managed to set up for us mm. in society, that if I say you are being egocentric, you don't
mm-hmm.
hear that as, oh, right, I'm giving all of my attention to that ego.
Mm-hmm.
It is a condemnation of you.
Right, being self-involved or, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, so the other, another big thing I'm seeing,
you have
I saw.
There, Barbara?
Yeah, I know.
Friend.
He wants attention.
He has something to say.
He always has something to say when I'm saying something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he likes to be in on the conversation. You can understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
The other thing that I saw and I've seen before is that I hear this, I'm being told that there's nothing else but this. Like, I can't let this go because there is, like, there, it's kind of like death, or there's nothing here without ego.
It is. Yeah, it is death to ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it is a true statement, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
if you leave it behind, it will
mm-hmm.
die.
Mm-hmm.
You won't. My God, you'll go on to live whatever life you choose, but it
yeah.
will die.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I can see that. It really is what where life is. You know, when it's gone, when it's dead, the emptiness is where, you know,
yes.
where life is,
yes.
like where the
yes.
possibilities are.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. It's
mm-hmm.
a description of presence. It's
mm-hmm.
open. It's spacious. It's expansive. It contains everything, and you can
yeah.
wander and play in that.
Contains everything.
So I got up early this morning. It's early here. And, well, now it's not. But when I got up, it was. Because I'm endeavoring to write my newsletter article, which is always a challenge for me. And so as, because, and I say it in the article in case you see it, this will be familiar. I say, I want to write the same thing every time I write anything. But I won't allow myself to indulge in that. And it's because the topic is the same. And the topic is exactly what we're talking about now. So it dropped in last night. Get back to Gandhi. Gandhi has the answer to what it is that you want to say. And the quote that I read was, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in service to others." And you can see, right? Ego wants us on the couch, safe, completely absorbed in it, not aware of what's going on around us, not because it's too upsetting. It's I just have to sit here and listen to this self-improvement program, the ego. And so I wanted to tie those together for you, because what Gandhi said is the whole thing. The best way to find ourselves is to lose ourselves in service to others. So if you want to get out of that, get off that couch, go out and, as the old song says, find somebody to love.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Barbara. Sheree, I'm going to try to squeeze another caller in.
I am talkative this morning, so squeeze away.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Helga from Charleston.
Well, hello, Helga.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've got mostly the South, just a little tiny Midwest, mostly the South this morning. What's going on in Helga's world?
Oi. So, let's see. So what I saw was, you know, I have this, there's a belief that I am too sensitive to really be open to life because it's going to be too painful. And that is something that, you know, that belief, you know, was created a very, very long time ago. And then strategies got developed to numb myself. And that already is... you know, as ego has it, is already the proof that there's something really wrong with me. Not only that I'm too sensitive, but then also all the strategies that I have developed are proof, and they're very dysfunctional. I get that, but they are proof that there's something very, very wrong with me. And then the fact that I can't overcome. You know, and then there's this struggle of wanting to overcome those behaviors, and the fact that I can't seem to be able to get a grip on it is another proof that there's something really, really wrong with me. So it doesn't matter which way I turn. You know, it's always only proof that there's something really wrong with me. That does is, like what everybody else is, you know, describing, is basically, you know, I feel like I'm in this cage, and then that creates actually so much pressure that, you know, then sometimes, you know, I see myself getting angry at small things, which is another proof that there's something really, really wrong with me.
Exactly.
And so I just feel, you know, it's like what the previous caller said, there's just this sense of it keeps me small, it keeps me in fear. And in that system, that, as I said, everything just points to the fact that there's something really wrong with me.
Yes, yes. Which is, you know, it's so It's so slimy and ugly because it is the easiest thing. What it's doing is the easiest thing in the world to do. And I'll tell you how we can prove that to ourselves. Because when we are identified with it, we can find something wrong with everything.
Mm.
Everything, right? Isn't that, isn't that what it's like? We just go around and we don't like anything. And that's wrong with that, and that's what's wrong with that, and that's what's wrong with him, and that's what's wrong with her, and why in God's name are they like that? I mean, we can identify with that and see exactly how it's doing that to us. Now, when we check in with ourselves in that place and stop and disidentify for a moment, is there anything wrong with all that stuff? No. No. It's an attitude of mind. It's a perspective, right? It's a viewpoint. It's not the truth. And in the same way, none of that is true about you. And so it is what Barbara was saying. You know, it's really gutsy to say, okay, I don't believe it. I don't believe there's anything wrong with me, and I'm going to stop acting in the world as if there is. So I'm sensitive. Good. The world needs sensitive people, for God's sake, right? We need to be sensitive to one another and sensitive to the environment and sensitive to creatures and right? That's what we need. We don't need less sensitive people. So good. So you're going to go out there and you're going to be sensitive and you're going to find out how to turn that sensitivity into a contribution to life.
Mm.
Can you picture it?
Yeah, I can picture it. I can picture it. And then, you know, it's like what you said earlier. It's like, you know, this discrepancy between, you know, knowing that and seeing that and not always being in that place is, for ego, another proof that there's something wrong with me, because I can totally feel it. I can.
Yes.
I can see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So the thing that I think would be most helpful for all of us is to begin a practice of not indulging there's something wrong with me. So I can guess that there was a time that you didn't speak English. Is that true?
Yeah, sure.
I thought I was safe in that one. But if we said, well, there was something wrong with you, and which is, of course, obviously stupid. And then if, as you were learning it, you didn't get the grammar just right, well, there's proof that there's something wrong with you. No, there isn't. And what we're up against with ego is exactly like that. No, I have a habit of believing a load of garbage to be true. It's a deep, deep habit. I am breaking that habit. And as I break that habit, there will be times that I fall back into it. That is not something wrong. It's called learning. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
to take away that, to begin there, to take away that power from it. No, this is not a sign that there's something wrong. It's a sign that I'm learning, growing, and changing. It's a sign that I am not where I will be. The proof of that is that I'm not where I was. Yeah, I change every day. It's the old every day in every way. I'm getting better and better. Yeah, so when it starts down that, this is proof, let that be your signal. Let that be your signal to come to and say, whoa, 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 whoa. No, actually, what is true is that I am waking up out of the deep sleep of ego. I am making progress. I'm doing a great, and then just start in, right? Go on and on about what a great job you're doing with this learning, growing, changing, waking up thing, becoming more happy about your sensitivity, less fearful of, and ego will shut up and leave you alone. It'll come back, but it doesn't want to be around for that kind of conversation. Okay?
Okay.
You're going to let me know.
Okay.
You know, I think what we should do, Helga, we need to assemble an army, a peaceful army of people who were told through their lives, especially as children, but throughout their lives, that you're too sensitive. I think we need to start a movement. Because that is the sensitivity that we desperately, desperately need. Okay. I'm going to recruit you, all right?
Yep.
So look for your recruitment papers. All right, good. Very good.
Thanks, Helga. Take care.
Bye-bye. See you
Bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Helga. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And I think would be... Go ahead.
Well, I just was hit with this curiosity. I wish I could know the percentage of people in this practice who were told when they were young that they are too sensitive and probably are being told to this day that they're too sensitive. Wow, what an evil, evil approach ego has. Go ahead.
Well, I was just trying to recap the theme of the theme of the conversation, which to me is, you know, there's something wrong with you is such a deep belief, and the bamboozle that we fall for is just because we know it's a belief, we keep falling for it. But in that conversation with Helga, what you were pointing at is the way we stop falling for it is that every time it arises, we counter it. That countering allows for the proportionality of the times when we believe there's something wrong, that we spend in that dark place versus here, alters. But if we believe what it says, we're reinforcing our habit of identifying with it, rather than countering that and creating the alternate perspective of what is true as our experience.
Yes, yes. And that as our experience is the key there, right? Because our experience, it's what we're experiencing in the moment that we want to reinforce.
Yes.
I'm having a different experience. That's why that voice is telling me there's something wrong with me to try to get me back into an old pattern. And I see that.
Yeah. All right, here's our assignment for today. Write down three positive opinions, record and listen. Write down three negative opinions, record and listen.
And pay attention through the process, I'm guessing.
Yes.
It doesn't say that, but we want to pay close attention. All right. Well, very good. Thank you, Ashwini. And thank you, everybody. Thanks. Treasure yourself.
Talk to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.